Lord has given us. I make no claim for any of this. I take responsibility for what comes out of my mouth, I'll tell you that. But I take no claim to what the Lord has given me because it is from the Lord. Lord says if you will trust Him, that not only will He fill your mouth and give you the boldness, but He will allow you to speak. To speak of righteous and good things on His behalf, not filthy things. He will give you, my Bible says, utterance. That means speech capabilities. 17 years now, through God's grace, never ever had to wonder what God wanted me to speak about on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. I've never had to look it up online. I've looked at various commentaries. I do that all the time to make sure that I am at least in the ballpark to what other, I shouldn't say other, to what theologians have to say about God's Word. I do my study, I do my background, but God always gives me the material. I've had friends I've gone to conferences with that say they get sick every Saturday night and throw up because they're so nervous about what they're going to say on Sunday morning. God bless them. They're in the wrong profession. If you can't do this with joy in your heart and conviction, you shouldn't be doing it. I'm not talking about me. Again, I take no credit for this. I give it all to the Lord and His Holy Spirit. But I do take responsibility for what comes out of my mouth. Because the Bible says it's what's in the heart that eventually makes its way out of your mouth. Eventually. You can try to keep it cooped up, excuse me, but if the devil gets a hold of you, eventually something's going to come out of your mouth that you don't quite want to come out of your mouth. And there's times when we just need to take a pause, take a moment before we hit the send button in our brain for our mouth. And we'll talk about social media here in a little bit, maybe. But we're going to go right to God's Word this morning after we ask some questions. Listen to this. Questions, okay? Can we handle this? What do all people hear coming out of our mouth? Think about it for a moment. Told you we're going to talk about conversation. Conversation meaning life, right? It's our life. So in your life, what do people remember about you that came out of your mouth? That's question number one. Now we're going to get specific. Should we curse? Should we curse? Should we use curse words? And does cursing help us in our daily conversation? Our society has gone crazy with profanity. Everywhere. Young kids. I was at a volleyball tournament yesterday in Nelsonville and I heard little kids cursing this big. They had to learn it somewhere. So I've heard people defend cursing, that it gives them a little more power in their conversations with people. It gives them great emphasis. I've heard this. Look it up. It's out there. Cursing as a way of communicating. You type that in, I guarantee you, you'll get a result. Should we curse? Does it help? Here's the other question. Does our language that we use, and our tone, draw people to us to hear our story, or does it cause everyone to run away from us? When you read the New Testament and the recorded life of Jesus, it is remarkable. If you miss it, I'm sorry that you've missed it. I'll just paraphrase it for a moment. Everywhere that Jesus went, everywhere that he went, great crowds followed him. Throngs of people. He had to get on a boat in the middle of a sea to preach because the people were pressing against him. Meaning they wanted to get to him. He had to go on a mountaintop for the greatest sermon ever preached. But Jesus Christ was done high above the people. There were so many, he had to get up on a mountain and look down and talk to them. People followed him because you know why? They wanted to hear what came out of his mouth. The question remains, do people want to hear what comes out of your mouth, or do they run from you? The treasure is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful story. People wanted to just get close enough to him, just to touch the hem of his garment for healing. They believed that strongly. If they could just get within sight of him, if they could just touch the hem of his clothing, that they believed in their heart of hearts, they believed that they could be healed. We're talking about walking with God. And walking with God also has to do with talking. It's your conversation. You're the witness that God called to be the witness for him, for someone, for eternity. Do you know that? You have the power of witnessing to someone for their eternal life. Someone depends on you to witness to them about the goodness of God. And what comes out of your mouth matters. It matters a lot. A little girl said to her mommy, she said, "You know, when I grow up, I want to become a preacher." And the mom says, "You know, that's pretty great. That's a great thing to want to become." She said, "But why do you want to do that?" She said, "Well, I just think it's probably more fun to go to church and yell at everybody than to sit there and have to listen to it." Are you receiving everyone as if it's your responsibility to help them along life's road? Because see, that's what Romans 5:15-7 said, isn't it? Must receive everyone as Christ has received you to the glory of God. Isn't that what Romans 15:7 says? You can't receive someone if you're cursing at them, can you? Can you bless and curse at the same exact time? Scriptures say you can't do it. We're going to be talking more about walking by faith and not by sight in a different time. And maybe that will be next week. But today we're going to talk about what comes out of our mouth. And so we want to get some definite answers today, especially for our young people that are growing up in the society of cursing every other word, it seems like, in some conversations. They just can't talk unless they're cursing. My dad, God bless him, God rest his soul, thank you, Dad, for your guidance. My dad only had a fourth grade education. His father got really sick, and there was six brothers and a sister to take care of. So at the age of 12, he went to the log woods and started working. He worked until Parkinson's disease struck him down in the junkyard when he was 63. My dad didn't curse. He despised it. A remember one time in particular, we were in the section of the junkyard where Dad worked on cars, and I was a very young boy. I was younger than Miles. And some men were gathered around this car that Dad was working on, and they started cursing. When my dad talked, people listened. He was like E.F. Hutton. He was quiet, strong man, very peaceful to me. That's how I remember my dad. But other people remembered a different side of my dad, and when my dad got angry, people closed their mouth and listened. Dad stood up and he pointed his finger at them and he said, "You will not curse around my son. Period." But he didn't have to say period. They just stopped cursing. That impressed me. It stayed with me. It stayed with me my whole life. To this day, I urge my family and everyone around me, just don't use those words. My dad, with only a fourth grade education, you know what he said? He said, "Cursing makes you sound stupid. Cursing means that you don't have any other words except for those words." He said, "There's got to be other words." And God bless my mom. My mom, I think, tutored my dad and got him the education that he needed. His mom got to go through, guess what, the seventh grade. She's a full-fledged graduate in seventh grade. So I didn't grow up in a household like that, and I pray that your household could be without at least that. So is it a sin to swear and curse and carry on? The Bible makes this abundantly clear in Ephesians 4:29. Turn there with me. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Excuse me. This is the passage that talks about us becoming a new creature and a new person when we put on Christ in our life. When we put on Christ and we say we're a Christian, we say we're a follower of Christ, our attitude, our tone, and everything's supposed to change. Okay? We're supposed to change. And Ephesians 4:29, I'm not cherry picking this, I'm giving you the background. This is about us changing to become a different person. And here it is, 4:29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer." This is unbelievably pointed. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And then it says, but what is necessary. It doesn't mean use corrupt words to edify people. That's not what it means. Don't read it like that. It means stop, listen, and pay attention. Only good words should proceed out of your mouth. Only. And only words that build up and edify other people. I had to stop myself last night. We went to the gym, worked out. We're coming, and Miles, he's the eating machine. He's 13, eats everything. He ate the other half of my sandwich yesterday, too, man. Got a foot long at Subway, and he ate the other half of it coming home. After he'd already eaten a 12-incher. 30 seconds before. Anyway, he said, "Papa, we got to stop somewhere and get some food." On the way home, I said, "Okay, where are you going?" So we ended up at this place. I won't tell you exactly where it was. But I ordered a quarter pounder. Without cheese. So I'm not going to tell you the name of the restaurant or anything. So we ordered it, and I said, "I want a quarter pounder, no cheese, please." And so they said, "Fine," and they gave us the rest. I ordered 12 things for this one. Miles said, "They're going to think this is going to be like 8 or 10 people in this car." when we pull around, they're going to be really amazed to see there's only two people in this car. Yeah, we had two sacks like this. Anyway, so we pulled around. She said, pull around the first window, and we did. And Maj, you got to help me get this right. She said, are you... Yeah. Are you the quarter pounder without the no cheese? Is that sinking in? And we looked at each other and we just melted down. Because I wanted so much to say, what kind of cheese are you going to put on my no cheese? Are you the quarter pounder without the no cheese? What comes out of our mouth's important, isn't it? Right? And so he said, do you think there'll be cheese on it? I said, well, the last time I was here and ordered that, I pulled over to the side and checked, and there was cheese on it. But I said, I'm not even going to check tonight because we're having too much fun with this. Let's just go home. No cheese. I knew you would want to know, right? I should have saved it till the end. They got it right. And when we pulled to the last one, of course, where you get your product, she said, you are the no cheese, right? And I said, yes, I am the no cheese. What? What? I'm a person. I'm not the no cheese. So I said, you know, and we're laughing about it. And I said, you know, God always provides. I get to use that tomorrow. And those weren't corrupt words. Those were just fun and funny. And, you know, the last thing that person needed at 11 o'clock at night was for someone to correct their English, right, and ruin their day. We needed to just smile about it and move on. And it did no one any harm. In fact, it brought us great joy, and we're laughing about it even yet this morning. The difference is in your tone that we use with people and the words that we use. Do they edify and build us up for God's grace to enter into their life? Or do we tear them down so that the evil spirit can sneak in and say, see, I told you, people are horrible. The Antichrist is just that, is Antichrist. And he wants to convince you every day that people are no good, that they're not worth saving, and that only you know what's going on. Let's do a little more building on this. Let's go to 1 Peter. I love this passage, and I hope that you'll enjoy it with me. Go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. I want you to have time to get there. 1 Peter chapter 3. This chapter has to do with our submission in marriage to one another and our submission in all life to God. And our conduct, whether it be in health or in ill health, in wealth or in poverty. Our conversation needs to be the same, my friends. In order for us to have this union that we're seeking in this life of prosperity and goodness, and yes, unifying this country, standing for what's good and what's good proper and not evil. This whole chapter is devoted to those things and how we're supposed to treat each other in all of these areas. And in chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this. It says, he who would love life and see good days. Are you with me? Don't you want to love the life that God gave you? Right? Don't you want to have a good life, a good time? Don't you? For those who would love life, and this doesn't mean putting life on this earth above God, by no means. I'm not talking about that. My Bible strictly forbids that I love my life more than God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your happiness and our general welfare as a people and our walk and our conversation with each other. He who would love life and wants to have good days will do this. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The Lord's watching. That's what my Bible says. He's watching. He's listening. He's listening to our conversation in life. It matters what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes it matters what comes out of our fingers, just like Brian up here playing. He was playing for the Lord. He was standing in a substitute for the person that's not here today to play the piano. So Brian played the guitar to bring you some music that would be good for your ears and edifying and lift you up. What we do when we walk out the doors of this church are more important than what we do here. Incredibly more important than what we do here. If you want to have a good life and love life and have good days, then we're supposed to refrain our tongue from speaking evil. It gets even plainer. We're going to turn to James. Let's turn to the book of James. Hebrews, then James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. Hebrews, and then James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Do you think you need help with your tongue? Do you need help with your tongue? And with what comes out of your mouth? Do you? Yes or no? I mean, that's a question. I do want an answer about that. Do any of you have trouble with what comes out of your mouth? Yes or no? I'm glad you're being honest this morning. Because the scripture we just read says God's watching and He's listening. He pays attention to the goodness that comes out of our mouth, and He pays attention to the evil that comes out of our mouth. And when you get into this deeper, it says that one day we will stand in front of the Lord and be compensated for what comes out of our mouth. You're going to get paid. It depends on what currency you want. I'm going to leave that to your own minds to think about. One day we will stand in front of the Lord, and you will be compensated, and I will be compensated for what comes out of our mouth. You get paid. In James, the third chapter here, starting in verse 9, I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Now, you can't do them at the same time. but you can do them with the same mouth. If you miss that word similitude, you've missed the entire meaning of the scripture. We are made in the image of who? You got it? We are made in the image of God. And if you curse one of His creation, one of His creatures, you are cursing God. You're telling God that His creation is no good, that there's something wrong with it. When you call somebody some of those filthy names that people are using, even in the national conversation, the leaders of this nation are using language that would never, ever, ever have been uttered out of anyone's mouth. And they're saying it openly. All of them, not just one. I'm not pointing anyone out. This isn't a political statement this morning. This is a picture of what our society has become. Freely, people just use words as if they don't make any difference. They make a difference. And this scripture scares us to death, or it should. It scares me. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father. Oh God, thank you so much for everything you've done. Forgive me of my sin. And with it we curse men. Oh Lord, these people are evil. And then we say all the blasphemous words that we can think of and we can conjure up. We use all sorts of epithets to say about different cultures and ethnicities and colors of skin. And we froth at the mouth and we scream and yell. And we march and we carry on and we kill each other all the day long, when indeed you are killing God's creation with your mouth. It says right here that all men are created similar to the appearance of God. And when you curse them, you're cursing God. Turn back to Hebrews with me. Chapter 11. And you, chapter 11. This is a chapter about the heroes of God. This is incredibly important to the rest of my day and your day. And I'm going to do my best to keep thinking about this. Some men's name and women's name are listed here in chapter 11, and they're called the heroes of the Bible. How incredibly important was it to God to have these particular names listed in His holy word? You know, my Bible says that if you're saved, that your name will be written down in the Lamb's book of life for an eternity as one of the saved. But it's incredibly important in this chapter of the heroes of God that He took the time and wanted a man to write down the names of these people and raise them up and edify them and say, these are my heroes, and here's the reason they're God's heroes. It says this, by faith, in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Back up to verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You know what they did? They believed in God and they obeyed God. Do you know that when you walk out these doors, there will be a list of commandments that God sent down, gave to Moses to give to his people? One of them is missing. It needs added out there, by the way, because Jesus brought a new one. But one of those commandments outside that door says, thou shalt not do what? Talking about cursing here. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the one that Jesus added to those ten is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Does that tell you anything? God chose these people. He said they got a good report because they obeyed God. They did not take the name of the Lord in vain. And it explains all of them, what they did. It says in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In verse 11 it says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child, and she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. We're to keep the promises of God in our daily life, in our actions, in our walk, and in our talk. Do you believe it's important to say good things instead of bad things? These people are listed because they did good things for God. My friends, cursing, swearing, taking the Lord's name in vain, calling other people unbelievably rude names and hurting them as an entire people is a sin. And sin is a condition of this thing right here. Can you see this far? Sin is a condition of the heart. It's a condition that we get in. Romans 7:22 says, the inner man, which is manifested in our thoughts, actions, and words. You can look it up for yourself. Romans 7:22. The inner man is manifested in our thoughts, our actions, and our words. When we swear, when we curse, we're providing evidence of the pollution in our heart. And it must be confessed of and repented of. You think you're going to get some of these men and women in this nation to get on their knees and confess their sins for calling people what they call them and for cursing in front of our children? I pray God's Holy Spirit would work on their heart and they would get on their knees for the witness that they're bringing to our children. I want to ask some of these kids right now. I'll just ask you first. You hear cursing in school? A lot? A lot? Come on, kids. The teens are with us. Do you hear cursing in school? A lot? A lot? Every day? All the time? Huh? Is it there? Why is it there? The Bible just told you. It's a condition of the heart. What happens in our heart, it gets manifested in our being, and it comes out your pie hole. Or your quarter pounder without no cheese. Without the no cheese. Quarter pounder without cheese, without the no cheese. Anyway, however it goes. Here's another definition and we're done. You are what you eat. If you're consuming those things that are wrong, and if you're allowing them to enter in, and if you don't feel any guilt for it whatsoever, then there's something wrong with the condition of your heart. Lord, help us. Help us to change the condition of our heart and change our world to be a kinder, gentler, more loving, Christ-like creature. In Jesus' name.